Full arrest, assault, uncontested divorce, rental disputes, maintenance matters, or labor problems. It can happen to you. Clientele Legal provides tough professional lawyers for an affordable monthly premium. Our legal team is standing by to assist you 24 hours a day. Join today. SMS SAFM to 32195. That's SAFM to 32195. Clientele General is an authorized FSP and licensed non-life insurer. T's and C's online. Standard rates apply.
Five teams, one epic journey. No flights, no smartphones, just grit, maps, and pure determination. Race Across the World Season 3 is back, and the stakes have never been higher. From bustling cities to remote villages, who will conquer the chaos and cross the finish line first? Thursdays at 6 p.m., only on S3. Yes.
Make summer even more extra with free gifts from Vodacom, like the Oppo Find X9 Pro for just 1,399 per month over 36 months on a 6GB RedCore plan. Comes with a wireless charger, Oppo Watch X2, 80-watt charger, magnetic phone case, and Oppo Care worth 18,999 on us. Plus, get 5GB YouTube data for 3 months. Available in-store and online. T's and C's apply. Further together, Vodacom.
Top Sport with Michael Abramson.
A lady who certainly knows her football, Kumotso from Benoni or from Noni, as she likes to say.
I think when it came to the forwards, Bruce had, wow, too many players. He, if you look now, you look at Austin Apollos, he's sitting on 2 goals, well, according to the PSL log. He's got a lot of players to pick from, and I do understand with putting Reyners on the side, just to say, I'm not getting completely out of it, but you are coming back from injury, so let's allow you to heal and not give you a lot of pressure. I can't wait to see Kylan Smith next to Bolela. Mm. I can't wait to see what he's going to do next to Sibisi, because I think Sibisi is one of those players that just know how to mold players. I can't also wait to see Shandre Kimball. I think it is a great squad. Yes, Mshishi's not there, and I think we're all going to say Mshishi's not there because he's such an impactful player.
Sport on SAFM. Top Sport with Michael Abramson on SAFM.
It's 23 and a half after 7 on this Tuesday evening. Time now to talk cricket. Lots happening in the cricket world. We're going to have various cricket matches on South African soil to look forward to, especially with our women now and then our men later on in a month or so's time in January, and another women's series in February against Pakistan. So there is some local cricket to look forward to, even though, unfortunately, no home test matches this particular summer. So let's unpack what is happening in the cricket world with our cricket correspondent, Kevin Rademacher. Kevin, good to chat to you and good to have you back on the show. Good evening.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you for being on the show. It's quite an honor to be the opening act for your next guest on the show. So I'm happy to share the platform. Also, I was listening to you. The big World Cup rugby draw is actually tomorrow morning, I believe, at 11 o'clock, and that's going to be a crucial draw. You want to be in the top band in Group E or F. Otherwise, you might be meeting one of the top seeds already in the quarterfinal. So quite a massive draw tomorrow, and then obviously in America for Friday for FIFA 2026. Massive week.
Thanks for clearing that up. There's so much sport to keep an eye on. We're doing our best to try and sort that out. But with people like yourself who keep all our listeners up to date, it's fantastic. Kevin, good news. Both our football teams doing quite nicely for a change and starting to win matches. Well, your team's been winning consistently. My team hasn't. So it's nice that we finally got a win this past weekend.
Well, yours is showing massive improvement. A great, great match this weekend under the new manager. Yeah, my Luton Town, they are there or thereabout. They're 4 points off the playoffs with quite a lot of the season to come. And I think this running in December, as you know, is always the crucial period for any football league, especially in the UK. So it'll all be determined in the next month or two. We've got quite a lot of easier games to go. We've played everyone in the top 10. So hopefully, like yourselves, we can accumulate some points.
That'll be fantastic. Hopefully our sides will meet again next year in the league and in the championship, not in League One, as things might turn out. You'll never know. I suppose in the next few months we'll sort that all out. Kevin, let's talk cricket. The first ODI, South Africa actually did remarkably well to come back into it after India posted their I suppose, expected high score on Indian soil. South Africa, I was actually at an event at a theatre production, and I saw the score on the screen, 7-2 at 11-3, and I thought, wow, this isn't going to last long. But our batters down the order did fantastically well to pull us that close.
I'm sure, like you said now, most people put their televisions off at 3-4-11, chasing 349. But yes, Michael, they did come back. India got off to a rocking start. They were 80 runs after the first 10 overs. Then the pitch slowed down a lot. Even Kohli started to struggle. He only got the singles. He picked up again a little bit later in the innings. And then South Africa, yes, it was also slow at the beginning, but the dew came in, the pitch fastened up, and the middle order and the bottom order took full toll of it, and we became extremely close. In actual fact, they got their 300 in 45 overs, and we got it in our 44th over with 6 overs to go. But obviously, we just ran out of wickets at the end.
India, it's a format that suits them perfectly. I mean, they love playing ODI cricket. They play so much off it, and they're in front of packed arenas as well. They must be sick, I suppose, of the sight of Marco Jansen in all formats so far on this tour. He's been amazing with the bat.
I think they may be sick of him, but they also love him. They love players who come out there who are attacking. Jansen scored 70 runs in, I think it was 39 balls, if I'm correct, 34 balls. And he entertains. He's one of the IPL heroes as well. So, yes, they're probably sick of him doing well for the Proteas, but they do love him. But they had much more to focus on. As you know, Kohli was back. Sharma was back playing in the ODIs. And they had a full stadium basically for those two heroes of them. And they didn't disappoint the crowd with their massive partnership. And setting world records. I think it's quite interesting while you're mentioning it. Sharma became the world record holder in terms of sixes hit in ODIs in that game. Mm-hmm. Kohli's got the most hundreds in ODIs, 52 of them. So quite an interesting game. And also, not to mention the 681 was the highest aggregate score in a match in the ODI between India and South Africa. So quite an eventful day for the people there.
You mentioned Virat Kohli. No love lost between him and the South African coach, Shukri Conrad. Kohli deliberately not shaking Shukri's hand after the match because of certain comments that were made during that test series. Do you think there's some bad blood still lingering between the sides, or is that just a one-off incident that's now blown over, do you think?
Well, I hope it's something that blows over. Kohli has always been pretty boisterous. He hasn't been the good boy like everyone thinks. He has been had quite a lot of issues regarding him and talking into stumps and microphone stumps and that kind of stuff. And India also do not have their hands clean. I'm not going to go into the political discussions or the discussions of the coach, but India themselves are pretty much body shaming our own captain, which no one spoke up against. So I think like they say, don't throw stones if you're living in a glass house.
Yes.
I'm sure it's something that will eventually roll over. The teams are competitive, and I'm sure at the end of the series, hands will be shaken again.
Themba Bavuma likely to be back for tomorrow. Also, Keshav Maharaj will probably replace Prenilin Subrayan, you would think. A few choices. Bavuma, if he comes in, and it's likely that he will, who does he replace? Quinton de Kock is somebody you always want there because of his potential to score big runs. Ryan Rickleton failed also in the previous match, but most of the top order failed. So what potential changes do you see, and how do you think the South African side could line up tomorrow?
I think you nailed it 100% on the head. Maharaj and Bavuma were rested after the test series. They will come back most likely. Maharaj will replace Subrayan if I'm reading it correctly. And you're 100% correct once again. Bavuma will either come in for Rickleton or de Kock. I would like to get de Kock up in the opening position again. He's coming back after a long time. Rickleton had quite a lot of matches in the test series. I'm sure he's a bit tired as well. Give him a rest. Let's get de Kock and Markram opening with Bavuma coming at number 3. And let's start preparing for the World Cup in 2027 and see what we can do there.
Also nice to have players like Briatska and Brievis being given an extended run in the team just to show what they can do. The future of South African cricket, certainly in this format. So nice that Coach Shukri is giving them a run to prove themselves.
And they're going to have to prove themselves. Briatska has been pretty consistent in his matches since his debut. Brievis, on the other hand, had extreme highs and extreme lows. He's going to have to do something to save his position there. Stubbs is not there at the moment. Stubbs actually played in the domestic final on Sunday and was there at the end of the match. So this does give Brevis a chance with the bat at number six, number five. And this is his one chance. He's had a lot of chances. So at the end of the day, it's going to be a 14-man squad in 2027, and coaches and that are starting to look right now who they can depend on. And this is Brevis' chance.
For Tony DeZorzi, I mean, not so long ago, everybody was writing him off saying he's lost his touch. He's badly out of form in various formats of the game. He's established himself back in the test squad now and done well there, made some big runs. And as far as the ODI situation is concerned, been given a chance also here by the coach. So it looks as if things are looking suddenly very rosy for him.
You're 100% correct. And not long ago, he was one of the premier ODI players. He got us off to quick starts. Now he's more in the middle order. And don't us South Africans and even sports lovers just love a story like that? Someone who's really struggled throughout his career, first at domestic cricket, sorted his game out, came into international cricket, struggled a bit at the beginning, sorted it out, became really, really good, and now struggling again, and now finding his feet again. We love those stories where the highs and the lows. And at the end of the day, those are the stories we like to hear when the people prevail. And normally it ends in a great tournament, be it at the World Cups or be it in the big matches. And he's got a lot more chapters to write. And he's a wonderful guy. He's a friendly guy. He's got his own YouTube channel out there. He tries to talk a lot to the community. And it's those kinds of stories that we need to inspire the younger players coming through.
Just finally on the men, in terms of the venue, Raipur has, I believe, only hosted one previous day-night match of any significance. So there's not much history to look at there. But what are we expecting from the conditions? South Africa, I suppose, have to play positive cricket. They are behind in the series. They've got to chase the game. So what do you think we can anticipate from conditions there and from the way the match might go?
I will have to take a massive guess if I tell you this. I don't know. You are once again correct, Michael. You know your stuff. There's only been one ODI match there in 2023. New Zealand made 108 all out. It was going all over the place, very seamer-friendly. I don't expect as seamer-friendly pitch tomorrow. But it will help the quick bowlers at the beginning, I'm sure, and get some turn at the end. We saw the spinners from India struggling in the last game, in the first ODI, just because of the dew. They couldn't actually even grip the ball. India had to revert back to their seamers who got a lot of punishment there at the end. And I'm sure India will try and bring their spinners again. I'm sure the pitch will slow down once again during the day and possibly help them later in the evening again. So once again, the toss becomes very, very important. We talk about it all the time. I'm sure the team who wins the toss will want to bat. And another little stat for your listeners who might not know, India, I think, have lost 19 tosses on a row now in terms of the ODI. Mm. And now you are the memory mentalist. You are the man with the figures. I don't know what the probabilities of that are. Most probably higher to get struck by lightning, but yes, 19 in a row. Have lost laid off
to
toss.
Well, I can tell you that to lose 10 tosses in a row would be odds of a half to the power 10, which is 1 in 1,056. So 19 times that multiplies, it just compounds. So it's probably, I'll have to do the maths, but it's probably something like 1 in about 12,000. So highly, highly unlikely to happen. But the thing is, a toss of a coin has no memory. So people will say, but surely sooner or later, because they've lost 19 in a row, tomorrow they're likely to win. It doesn't go like that. Every time you toss, it's still a 50-50 coin toss, effectively. You don't look back. The coin doesn't have a history. It doesn't have a memory. So there's a potential to make it 20, 21, 22 in a row. Who knows? But
Michael, don't you think as a betting man, I'm not such a betting man. You've got your wonderful sponsors there of Hollywood Bets. Maybe someone can make a lot of money trying to put their money on India actually winning a toss for the first time in 20 attempts.
Yes, absolutely so. That'll be great. Kevin, we've got a few minutes. Let's chat about the woman. Dano van Niekerk, of course, the big story. She's back in the squad. She, as we reported in our news bulletin earlier, very, very excited, almost like a child with a new toy. to have another opportunity to show what she can do. Big series this for the South African women. Obviously, Ireland not the strongest of opponents, but they will test the South Africans in very different conditions that we can expect. Cape Town, then Paarl, and then up to Benoni as far as the T20s are concerned. What are you expecting to see from our women, given the confidence that they showed in the slightly longer format of the white ball game recently?
I'm expecting us to build on those performances. Once again, we've got our eye probably on June next year in terms of the World Cup in England. There's a couple of new faces who have come back into the squads for the T20 squad and the ODI squad. I know Leah Jones is making her debut. She's uncapped for the ODI team. Other people like Naidu and Tanishlif, and like you said, Dane Vernikak is coming back in the T20 squad as well. And these people are going to start jostling for positions. We saw in the last World Cup, possibly the number 3, number 4 spot was a bit weak. Some of these players are going to have their eye on that and see if they can try and cement that position. So I think we want a bit of consistency. Some of the girls are still in the Big Bash at the moment in Australia. They've had a lot of cricket this season. And possibly the Ireland series, both the 3 T20s and the 3 ODIs in December, might give a possibility for Coach Mshimbi to try a couple of things out, see who can perform at the international level, and see, more importantly, if he can get some combinations going so that we can build on the team for next year.
Also, another name who's come in from the wilderness is Faye Tunnicliffe. We haven't seen her playing international cricket for quite some time. She was a part of the squad a few years ago. She's sort of disappeared and now given another chance under the coaching staff. What do you expect from her?
Well, like I said, I think a lot like Dane Vernikak, she's going to be nervous. She's going to try and prove to herself, number one, that when she gets the opportunity, she's up to that level. Because a lot of doubt creeps into people's minds when they're not in the squad for a while. They're thinking, what can I do? Is this my last opportunity? And I think cricket is probably one of the worst sports you can have when there's doubt in your mind, when you don't know when the next run is coming, when the ball's not coming out of the hand properly. Her and, you know, Smith will be in there. Marks is back in as well. Goodall is back in the ODI squad. All of these people are going to have to just try and get back to basics, make sure that when the opportunity does come, if it comes, just to get back to basics and just try and show Coach Mshimbi that they will be ready if one of the other regulars do not perform as they're supposed to be.
Kevin, just give me your, I was going to say your gut feel, but it's more than that, your incredible cricket know-how. How do you think things will go tomorrow for the men? Do you see them squaring the series and bringing it down to a decider in the final one? And how do you think our women will go in both white ball series against Ireland?
These are always scary questions to ask, and let me tell you why. I see Dean Alger killed because at the beginning of the Indian Test series, he said South Africa are probably going to lose 2-0, although it's close. Indian conditions are going to be tough. I see the Twitter world is after his head, coming to say he was negative, that he doubted the team. It's become a bit of a racial thing as well. So I'm always scared to give predictions. I will go and say the toss will be important. If we win the toss, we have a chance to win it. But I don't think the result is as important as just ensuring some kind of consistency. I think the only thing we really care about in the ODIs at this point is not the bilateral tournament, but 2027, yeah, at home, and we need to build that 14-man squad to try and make sure that we're in a strong position to win it there. So I'm not too worried about the results at this point. I don't think the coaches either, although it's important. I think more the consistency, how do the young players deal with pressure, especially in those conditions.
Beautifully diplomatic answer. Kevin Rademeyer, thank you so much for chatting to us, giving us your expert views. We'll, of course, keep listeners up to date with everything that happens in the cricketing world. And also, of course, with all these cricket matches coming up, we'll be chatting to Kevin and some of our other cricket correspondents a lot in the days and weeks ahead. And Kevin also filling us in on the rugby draw, which for the World Cup, which happens tomorrow, apparently, and not on Thursday. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. So tomorrow night in the show, we'll unpack that maybe in some detail for you as well. Just while that interview is taking place, I can